And welcome back to the football family for part two of this end of year review of 2023. Hopefully you want to stay with us. In part one, we poured over the landscape in terms of politics, finance and infrastructure. Now it's time for the football. A year which saw two senior managers depart, one after a historic World Cup, the other after an unsuccessful Euro 2024 qualifying campaign. And the FAI Cup final between St. Pat's and Bowes that had a record attendance of 43,881, the highest of any fixture involving League of Ireland sides. Katie McCabe was nominated for a Ballon d'Or, Evan Ferguson emerged in the Premier League, and Shamrock Rovers won a fourth consecutive Premier Division title. Vera Powell was replaced after that review, a search for the new boss seemingly likely to be concluded shortly, possibly within the next 48 hours. So as mentioned earlier, we will have Emma Duffy on call for a more rigorous assessment of that appointment later in the week. One thing we kind of do know is that the FAI want a senior men's manager appointed by February, when the draw for the Nations League will be made. And I know, Gav, you were at the AGM where that obviously was brought up by Jonathan Hill.
Yeah, he did his best to dodge as many questions as he could and he didn't answer a whole lot. What we did learn is that, yeah, they're actually hoping to get someone in charge. February is when the Nations League draw is. And we all know the Nations League is kind of complicated. No one really understands why it's important, but it absolutely is. And we're still hanging on in League B by some by some means. So we could get a very nasty draw. Could get England, actually, because they got relegated. So that draw's in February. So they're hoping to have someone by then, or at least for the...
Yeah, England have no defenders. You've already laid this out. Every other player.
They're screaming out for Nathan Collins.
I was just going to say, a comps in Ireland England team would actually be class, but maybe let's not go there.
Well, they already have a few of our players. Well, who are we to judge?
In half and half jerseys.
Awesome. Couple of friendly games in March, so they're hoping by then. What did they say? Not a whole lot. They're not going to do what John Delaney did with Dennis O'Brien. They're not going to take money from outside the FAI to pay a salary of a manager. And sorry, they don't call him the manager. They say they're hiring a head coach. And that I asked for like what's the profile of the candidate. Basically, he said the right person for the job, but he did reference the fact that they want someone who'll kind of engage with the underage teams as well.
And Shane Keegan's no longer involved in Irish football. But we alluded to it earlier. But just discuss that, the reasoning for that. Obviously, you stepped away from Cove and you're going to obviously remain, as I know we joked about it, staying in the GA with your role with Laois. And you kind of outlined some of it in the first part about just talking about weaving, like, just the kind of structures that are in place there. But, like, talk through that in terms of, so the thinking behind it and what was the kind of, so you know what, that's, it's actually the right decision to do it now.
Yeah, well, look, it was like people say, geez, must have been a hard decision. It was a very hard decision, and yet it wasn't a very hard decision because it wasn't even really a decision, to be honest with you. Like, the simple fact is that certainly over the first, you know, I've planned out kind of the first quarter of my year in my role as head of coaching and games for Laois GA, and the simple fact is I'm going to be working probably roughly, you say, I call it a day job, but it's not a day job because obviously, you know, you're working at the hours that teams are training and all that kind of stuff. So I'm going to be doing pretty much three evenings a week, every week for the first 3-4 months of the year. So if I'm doing three evenings a week for Laois and I'm trying to do three evenings a week for Cove Ramblers, even if I manage to swing it that those evenings don't clash, when am I at home? Like, when am I at home with my son and my wife? Like, you're not. So it's just quite simply just wasn't feasible. Like, it just wasn't doable. Throw in the amount of driving that's involved in that as well. So not only are you on a training ground every evening from 7 till 9, but you're actually gone from kind of 4:30. You know, you're probably was leaving Port Laois around 4:30 most evenings to get down there, and then you're home at, you know, 11:30. It's a massive chunk of time, and as brilliant and all as this season was, and it was, you know, again, I've outlined just how incredibly enjoyable this year was, probably my most enjoyable year ever in sport, just wasn't doable, just unfortunately quite simply wasn't doable again for 2024. If, like, this is, don't get me wrong, this is not, it's not my intention to check out of League of Ireland management forever. I look, I'm sure most of you have gone into new roles at some point in your lives. When you go into a new role, you need to put increased time into that new role to wrap your head around it, to get the place in shape, to have it running like you want it to run. I don't know, is that going to take me 12 months? I don't know, is it going to take me 24 months? Is it going to take me even longer? But I would like to think that if I could get, you know, get it kind of running like I wanted running, get good people around me in Laois and get it all kind of to a, a place, not that it's self-sufficient, but getting a bit closer to being self-sufficient, that then I would be able to potentially step back in and maybe do some League of Ireland management while still in this role, because it is my intention very much to be in this role within Laois for the next, I think it's realistically, to be honest with you, where we're at the moment, it's going to take minimum 5, realistically more like 10 years to actually make a real impact there.
Right, okay. So that's not you ruining yourself out of this job then. So why?
Just seeing a New York Yankees cap being tossed into the ring here.
But then what? The head coach, that's what it's going to be. We've seen Sam Allardyce talking. He was on second captains. Let's be honest, like, Sam Allardyce is not going to be the Republic of Ireland manager. I think that's fair enough to say. I don't think Steve Bruce is going to be that manager. We kind of said it earlier about, you know, it's that mix between how you develop players and you look at the squad. But what's the profile here? The profile, well, clearly, obviously, is to win games. But the profile of a manager, judging on what's happened in the previous 12 months and where this squad of players are at.
Well, I'll come back to that in a second.
Right.
I'm just intrigued if either of the two of you, so in the depth of my research, as you're well aware, is to bring up the Paddy Power
bet. No, yeah.
Can either of you shed any light to me as to why the bookmaker's favourite at the moment is Chris Coleman?
Well, he's from Dublin. He was born in Dublin, wasn't he?
Really?
Or his dad?
What?
Is his dad?
Actually, yeah.
I've never heard Chris Coleman's name been linked to this job. And I literally just opened the app here and I see Chris Coleman.
Let's be honest. He took Wales. He galvanised Wales at a point when obviously they hadn't been to a major tournament in decades. Now, the caveat being they had Gareth Bale and Ramsey.
Steve Evan.
Oh, you're throwing him in there. We're going to be having our Evan Ferguson chat. You've thrown it in there.
Irish dad, by the way. Born in Swansea to an Irish father.
Yeah, well, there you go. So yeah,
that.
But now he has got, like, he's one around where, but this is what we're saying, right? Even with the nature of it, it's almost as if you want to say that next up and coming fellow who everyone thinks is Lee Carsley, and he's obviously done a fantastic job, or it's going to be a blockbuster appointment, which isn't going to happen. Gav, you've already kind of said it there. They're not going to be doing the Dennis O'Brien route. But more so in terms of, if you're looking at this squad and the makeup of this squad, Shane, what's the manager? What does the manager look at and say, well, do you know what? These are the strengths. This is who he, like, I'm probably even going around in circles there and myself asking.
No, I get you. Look, I would like to think that it will be a manager who will continue to try and develop the style of play that Stephen, you know, tried to implement. You can argue whether he implemented successfully or unsuccessfully. But I would hate to see us go from, you know, the direction we've started to take over the last few years back to the direction, the style of play that we were trying to use previously. So, look, the FAI probably aren't in a position to sit down with managers and dictate the style of play and force a manager to go with, but they are the people who choose who they're going to put into the position. So I would like to think that is a serious factor in how they're going to go about it. Look, whether we want somebody who we think is going to give us the best chance of short-term success or the best chance of long-term success, like, I think that's a bit fanciful thinking, because, like, we can't be guaranteed either way. So I think it's pointless to say, oh, you know, put Sam Allardyce in there because he'll get a bounce out of them automatically. Like, you don't know what you're going to get either way. The Lee Carsley one is consistently the one that makes the most sense. He is exactly as you described. He has the potential to be the up-and-coming, bright, young thing. And I think that is probably the description, the personality description that we should be looking for. I wouldn't be going for a tried and tested, but maybe past their best. I think I would be taking a little bit more of a gamble on somebody who, and it is, like, you know, because there's such a lack of options out there, it's almost like everybody is agreeing that Lee Carsley is the best fit. Nobody can say that Lee Carsley wouldn't be a massive gamble. Of course it would be a massive
everyone's
gamble.
Everyone's a gamble, you know? I mean, they don't have Ireland's budget.
Ireland is a gamble here for a manager. This is why I think,
great point.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and I was just going to say to you, Gavin, obviously you were at the AGM, and Jonathan Hill kind of referenced that, didn't he? Obviously once by February, and they've spoken to the people who, so they've obviously made that initial contact.
Yeah,
I've tried to find this out, and I honestly don't know. I do not know if Lee Carsley wants the job.
I've tried to find out
well, where is he thinking at, where is he at in terms of, because he's within a structure that is, seems like you can see the pathway for him where he could end up being, not even just if it's going to be the senior England job, but he's involved with England whether or not it's a club in England.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, so what's my impression of the Carsey thing is that anything you hear back, and you've probably heard similar, is that he would love to be Ireland manager someday, whether he wants to be the next Ireland manager. And that's obviously the problem. Part of me thinks that if Carsley had indicated to someone last June after Ireland lost, he'd be the manager now. If he was ready to go the day after he won those England Euros, I actually think he will be the Ireland manager now. I think they would have got rid of Stephen Kenny back then. I get the sense, obviously he's at the FA. I don't think he's a contender to replace Gareth Southgate. I actually don't think he's going to be anywhere near that list. Apparently, so I could be wrong, but that was my
I'd say you're right there.
Impression from talking to people that he's not going to be a contender there. That means his option, do you go to club football? He could land in the Championship easily enough based off his track record and what he did with England. And, you know, that age profile of manager, you doesn't really go to international football very often. Now, maybe you're seeing a change slightly. It's like Julian Nagelsmann between jobs said, OK, I'll take Germany for the Euros. So maybe you're, maybe it's even Luis Enrique working with Spain and stuff. Maybe it's changed slightly. He's since gone on to PSG. So that does show you can go to international management and then go back to elite club management.
It shows you can go from very high standard international football back to elite club.
But like, would he be going after Ireland, would be going necessarily to a much lower level than you'd be going out after the England under 21s? I'm not actually sure. Like, he's not going to get hired for a Premier League job. So then you're looking at Championship, and like, you know, John Eustace left the Ireland staff to take a Championship job, you know? So, you know, I actually think that, I mean, I think it's kind of credible. I don't know whether he's the FAI say they don't have a preferred candidate. But also you look at Carsey, if you want to be Ireland manager, why not now? You know, like, I mean, okay, in one sense, the team is at a low ebb. The FIFA ranking is low. It's going to get lower.
It's dropped to 60th.
Yeah.
That could be his out.
Yeah.
You know, he could and say, well, I'm going to give this a go and back myself. And if it doesn't work well, he could still go down to Troyden Trust. Well, this is the worst group of world players that I've been around. Yeah. I tried my best.
And look, there's obvious talent in the group. Like, I mean, you've worked with Ferguson, you know, Collins, Bazunu, the centre halves. There's two big problems with the squad. One is the lack of midfielders. The midfield is a disaster zone, really. And the second is a lack of leadership. Like, when Coleman steps away, you're really worried as to, you know, who's going to be the real leader in that squad. Like, that's a big problem. And Carsey's quite a young manager as well. I don't know whether that'll be an issue as regards all that. So, like, but also, you know, you're not going to, it'll be, the FA are going to give him a 4-year contract. Like, and it's not going to be like Staunton, you know, or like Kerr. Like, he'll get two full qualification campaigns. Ireland won't qualify for the World Cup because they're not good enough. And no one expects them to. Like, the FAI don't expect them to qualify for the World Cup. And then the Euros, your co-hosts.
You've got the public still do it all, Gav?
Nah, only the more deluded ones. No one thinks we can, like, who?
But hold on, everybody expected us to beat Greece. And I couldn't understand how anybody ever expected us to beat Greece.
Yeah, like,
but you know what the thing is with the
That's different, though. Like, they were fourth season in the group, we were third. And I know you'd kind of done your work and you'd looked at them and you're actually, these are really good. And okay, like, people in the know like yourself will say, okay, we won't beat Greece. But like, based off the, like, take what, like, an easy look at the basic numbers. Ireland third seeds, Greece fourth seeds. We should be not losing to them home and away. I think that's a fair thing. And like, Ireland 68th in the world, and what is it? I think 16 European teams going to the next World Cup. We're not, like, having not been at the previous two Euros, no one actually thinks we're good enough to do that, you know? And then the Euros, we're co-hosting the Euros. So we'll surely be playing at that, you know? We'll have the, we'll do the qualifying campaign. We'll probably have a safety net in the Nations League. And then we'll actually have our own bespoke second safety net as co-host. So it's very unlikely that we miss out on that tournament. And then, you know, that's the gig, you know?
Almost strikes you then that, this is what I'm saying, like, for an up-and-coming coach then, it's a very safe job to go into in terms of, you have job security for a bit. That's why, and I'm looking at it in terms of the profile that you mentioned, say, Chris Coleman. Do you then go for a manager? And, like, let's be honest, there's no point in reflecting too much on the Stephen Kenny era. We did that, and we've almost been, like, dissecting everything about it while it was happening.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? It was like a live disembowelment at times, right? It was I wonder, like, I know I threw this out, but, like, does the manager come in and it's like, do you go for an international manager who is proven to have success and will come in, like, you know, not proven, that's going to be difficult, but what I mean is it proven at international management where, like, they've done the job and they understand the kind of the different maybe intricacies of it and what and how it's different, or do you just?
I don't know. I think the problem there is, I think,
because now you mentioned Chris Coleman, I'm not totally against that.
No, neither am I. I like it.
I don't know. I'm saying that now just purely on the basis that he's a fella who's done something with an international team who would be on the par of Ireland, even though we had a Gareth Bale. I know, obviously, we have Lord and Saviour. But, do you know what I mean? But it kind of, it strikes me that, does he, is there someone like that, or that kind of profile of someone who has a bit of experience? I don't know. I actually...
Yeah, I don't know. I would be, the one thing I would like them to steer clear of is, like, almost, there's probably a better way of putting it, but we don't want somebody who's like doing us a favour by taking the job.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Or the manager who says, I'm at the right stage where, you know, I've done club management. Like that thing wrecks my head. You know, I'm at the right age now. It's like managers, like when O'Neill used to say about Grealish or Rice, oh, well, come and play for us because you won't get 20 caps for England. So we are telling a player you're not good enough to be reach a certain level. You should be saying the opposite. Like that always, sorry, I'm going on a random here, but like the likes of that thing, that should have been like, listen, I know you're good enough to be able to kick on in your career and play for England. We know you are, but we want you. We love you here. Like, do it for us.
But
whereas it seemed to be the opposite.
But that,
you know,
also needs to apply to the manager.
To the manager, yeah.
Not
like
just
what
the player.
You said,
like,
yeah.
This needs to, I think, similarities, I suppose, in terms of Stephen's appointment, in that I do think it needs to be a manager who sees this as, I'm going to do everything. I have to get this right. This has to be a big kind of tick on my copybook by the end of it. And they're absolutely obsessed. Not rather than, you know, if my fear would be if Chris Coleman came in, he mightn't be the worst shout in the world. But I suppose what I'd be thinking is, we don't really want a manager who, if he comes in, well, in 2 years' time, if he leaves, he's able to say, well, sure, it was Ireland. They were crap. And he's just guaranteed to pick up another job. Anyway, we need somebody who, they desperately need this to work out for them. They really, really want this to work out for them, to enhance their reputation and kind of increase the options that they'd have after it. Again, who they are, like, sure, look, it's pie in the sky. I wouldn't think in the position he's in at the moment, you're not going to get anywhere near him. But I would love to have thought that they might have inquired around Anthony Barry.
Yeah.
Seeing whether that was a possibility, because I think there is the potential that in 5 years' time we're talking about Anthony Barry managing an elite Premier League team.
Right.
I think that capability is there. If we could get on that train before that train kind of reaches its destination, it would be outstanding. But look, he's got not one but two terrific jobs at the moment, I think. So I don't think we're going to be able to pull that one off, you know.
When you're saying there about the setup, the type of person and the personality, but also of what they've done, just the name, just so obvious, like Damien Duff.
Yeah,
I'll be honest,
it always feels like the same thing, and it's the same thing I've applied to Keane and another couple of Robbie Keane, I mean, that is, you always feel like, well, they'll be the next Ireland manager after this Ireland manager. And obviously with Duff, it's kind of awkward given he's become a kind of a Helen of Troy figure at Chelsea, where they've gone to war
and he's literally big, he is
the kingdom, yeah, for him. Yeah. So it would be bit fucking awkward for him to turn around now and said, listen, lads, by the way, I know you've bought this club.
I inquired about this to try and find out, and I was thinking, well, we've got to have friendlies in March. There's no Nations League games until September,
yeah.
So the League of Ireland will be just coming towards the end. Like, what would be stopping? Now, I inquired, and I was trying to say, and I was told, no, he is not going to, he wouldn't do that. If he was going to be the Ireland manager,
He'd be all in.
Literally was the exact phrase. I don't know if we're speaking to the same person, but like, literally that was the exact phrase, that he wouldn't. Because I was thinking, he could easily, not half-arse it, but do the Shelbourne job for the next season, and then go. Easily. I thought, but then it was made clear to me that no,
that's not. Do you think
he
has a strong enough CV as a manager to justify the position?
Like, for Ireland,
yeah,
I think he does. Yeah, for who he is, and even just a little thing for
as a manager, not the player, the manager. Do we not need a more consistent level of overachievement or achievement over a prolonged period of time? Duffer had,
and well, sure, he's a gamble, but like everyone is a gamble. Like we're not. I mean, David is absolutely right. Like, we're the gamble here. Like, it's a great phrase. We just, there's the budget in there to get someone at the peak of their powers. You're either going to get an up and coming coach who, in 10 years' time, please God, will be looking back and saying, God, what an appointment by the FAI. That's real kind of Brighton style thinking there by getting that guy in. Or else you're getting someone coming off who hasn't had success in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I just think one season is an incredibly short period of time to to say
And he's been involved at Celtic. Well, he's been involved in the grassroots in Ireland, and he's the caliber of player. The reason why I'm saying, as you were saying that to me, and only because I was saying earlier, like, for him, I think it would be an ultimate. I think it would be. And I'm also thinking, if you look at what Stephen Kenny did, and this is, I think, will be one of the benefits, and obviously it faltered towards the end, was just the kind of the spirit that he seemed to get back between players and the crowd. And just that, now obviously now there was COVID coming out of that, and like, we've seen that in the league as well around what's happening. But I just think from what Duff has done at Shells, in terms of, you can see an improvement defensively, and let's be honest, that's one of the aspects, not so much about playing football, that I think actually needs to improve with Ireland as well, is the defensive side of how the team is set up in terms of, and I think he could do that the way he manages and the way he coaches. I think he could do that, his understanding of the game, and 100% in terms of a manager's CV. Maybe if the job isn't given and he does well in Europe, that might give us an insight, because he's going to be in Europe with Shells. Do you hold off? I think
he absolutely has to show for another season what he's capable of.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with that. Yeah,
I think 2022 was par for the course. I think
it's going to be 4 years. Yeah. But it's going to be another 4 years, though. If the manager coming in and in for 4 years, I don't know.
Yeah, but that's not a reason to...
No, I know. I'm just sort of...
So I would say 2022, he finished in the table exactly where his budget would have dictated he should have finished in the table.
Okay.
So I wouldn't say that was achievement. I think this year he was outstanding. Okay, outstanding. But there are a lot of managers and a lot of players who can be outstanding for 1 year.
Is Stephen Bradley in the mix?
I would think on footballing CVs.
Hopefully, they've spoken.
In my opinion, on footballing CVs, Stephen Bradley would be miles ahead of Duffer at the moment. On footballing CVs, what they've achieved in management in the game so far. It's just, you know, my opinion on it. But
in terms of how Bradley, I know obviously in Europe, the last European campaign was a, let's be honest, it was a disaster for him in terms of how it went and the draw and all the rest, and just performances before that, it was almost as if they wrote off the Conference League, because it was like they have to win the league, and they kind of, but I want, like, in terms of how Bradley has set up Rovers, and I've used this phrase about them in terms of how they play, it's like there's almost like just not a monotony about how they play, but they're just so well drilled and how they play. And
what do you think about how Shells play?
No, anyway, Stephen, but like, sorry, you caught me on that off there.
It's the same, sorry, but then like, the challenge in international football is the time just in there, you know. I think actually previous international football experience is relevant in their search. I really do think that. I think that Kenny did talk about learning things on the job, you know, and obviously he did the 21s job for a bit, but obviously Carsey has the international experience from the 21s. I'm really coming to bat for Lee Carsley here. So maybe, yeah, obviously. Roy Keane's worked in international coaching before, you know.
But we're going back, because we've kind of discussed this now, and we're going around the circus a little bit. But in terms of the manager, and they're coming in, Gav, and looking at this, like, you look at what's over the last year, they're coming in, they're assessing the squad. Like, what has been the positive of the last 12 months? We know what the negative are. Stephen Kenny has lost his job.
Yeah.
Haven't qualified. That kind of confidence and that kind of sense of, you know, positivity has dissipated a fair bit. So if you're looking at that group of players, what has been the positive for the last 12 months?
Evan Ferguson, obviously. Pick a month of the year.
Ooh. Be a positive for every month, Gav.
I thought I did, but I actually have...
It's impressive if you have.
I actually have 6, and 2 of them are in January and 2 of them are in September. That didn't quite work.
But they were the months you were on annual leave as well.
If you have only 6, surely you can rattle off the 6 for us there pretty quick.
In January, aged 18 years and 76 days, Evan Ferguson is the youngest player to score in consecutive Premier League appearances since Federico Makeda. And he also became the second youngest player in Premier League history to both score and assist in a match after Michael Owen. In March, Ferguson was the second youngest player to score on his first international start for Ireland. At the end of last season, so 22-23, he had the best minutes per goal or assist rates among Premier League players this season in all competitions. And then in September, he was only the fourth player to score a Premier League hat-trick, age 18 or younger. In that same month, he was only the second non-English player to hit 10 Premier League goal involvements while 18 or younger, after Fabregas. And then in October, Ferguson became the first teenager to score 10 plus goals in a single calendar year in the Premier League since Wayne Rooney did it in 2005. So what he's doing is absolutely extraordinary.
So our list of positive moments for Ireland is actually a list of positive moments for Evan Ferguson.
Oh yeah, pretty much.
But I know I threw it out there, but is that, do we look at that and say, right, the next manager, this is a system for, I know I said this jokingly, but this is a system for when we have Evan Ferguson and he's fit and we play this way, and this is a system on how we play.
The main job there. The main job
is that simple? Is it that simple?
The main job for the next Ireland manager is not, I don't think it's to talk about like the right way to play the game and so forth and styles of play. His job is to bring the best out of Ferguson when he's in the team. And
because it's a generational thing. We're all talking about this.
He's our most likely route to goals, you know? And like people automatically assume pragmatism as being boot the ball into the channels, you know? But pragmatism is like, Andreas Iniesta described it as, well, we keep the ball because, sure, what else would we do with it, you know? He didn't say it in that way, but that was his point. So like that's, and why Kenny failed at the end really is that in home and away to Greece, Ferguson didn't have a single touch from open play in the Greek box across two games. Never going to work. So the style of play is not, there's not the right way to play out of kind of vanity or kind of because it's just easy on the eye. The right way to play is how you get the best out of Ferguson. So that's the job of the new Ireland manager, really.
But our challenge, or the new manager's challenge, is going to be, or the issue that we have is, so there's, in my opinion, right, there's, and this is probably the easiest way to explain it, there's two kinds of world-class goal scorers, okay? There's the Mbappes and there's the Haalands.
Yeah. So wide forwards versus centre forwards, is that what you mean?
No, or? What I mean is the fellas who will consistently score a massive proportion of the chances you create for them.
Yeah.
Haaland, as against the fella who more often than not creates the goal for himself.
Yeah.
Ferguson's we really could have done with the Mbappe version.
Yeah.
Rather than the Haaland.
Your heart's fucking pleased, I'll tell you.
I was going to say.
Is this what you said to his dad
when you're having a chat with his dad?
if he's got a 75% conversion rate, right? Which I'd say he'd be near enough at. He's an incredible finisher. 75% of no chances created is no goal scored.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. It is. And that's why one of the other positives is that Andrew Moran looks like he could potentially really step up at that level.
Yep, hopefully.
I mean, it is vital that...
But sorry, this is
our lack of people to create goal scoring chances. Oh my God, it couldn't be happening at a worse time, because we've, for the first time since Robbie, we have somebody and arguably the potential to be a level above Robbie. People would say he definitely is a level above Robbie. I think that has yet to be proven.
I think so too.
Oh no, absolutely he's not proven yet. He's still only been 1 year. Forget about it. It's like he's done so much, as you laid out.
So who is Evan Ferguson's duffer?
Yeah.
Robbie had duffer.
Yeah.
He probably had a few more in addition.
Moran is probably the best, is the most likely, you know?
Could
this be the year as well? That's what I'm saying about, you look at where, who we have now. We can't really look too much about who's coming next, because you don't know. To be honest, we can't say. Sometimes players just emerge. Ogbeni has emerged over the last little while. Luton almost seemed to be kind of protecting him a little bit. Like, he didn't play in the last game just because of his...
I think he was out of the squad altogether for the last one. He was on the bench in the one.
Yeah, he had a knock against City.
But is he someone in terms... If you're looking at it, well, do you know what? If a manager coming in, how do you... The world have to change the system slightly? Because it's one of the aspects even with Kenny is that you brought obviously Mikey Johnson in, but again, that's someone you can't hang your hat on at the moment, because he's not been able to have that sustained period. How do you create that squad, or how do you change... What do you have to change to actually get a bit more of a goal threat? What is it that maybe does need to happen with the players we have now? Like you mentioned, Josh Cullen's confidence seems to have just fallen off a cliff.
So again, Ogbeni is a goal threat. And for me, he's probably the second name on the team sheet for any manager. But he's not a creator. Again, he's not a creator. So we still have the same problem. So we do. In fact, Ogbeni is a little bit more of the Mbappe, in that Ogbeni does have the capability of actually, you know, picking a ball up 30 yards out from goal maybe and just using pure pace or something like that to create something for himself. But who's given Ogbeni and Ferguson the ball?
See, this is our midfield. The midfield is in rag order. And the big, and you referenced it there, the Josh Cullen thing is crazy. His form has just nosedived. And Brighton or Burnley now are picking up points. He's not on the team. And he was always Vincent Kompany's guy at Anderlecht in the Championship at Burnley. And now he's cut him loose.
And like you said, there's no explaining it. Like
this feeds into what we said in the first part again of, you know, that the player development. Are we going to be having this conversation in a number of years because we're just not able to create a certain calibre of player I don't know what it is, like, in terms of, like, how, at the moment, if you're looking in the next 12 months, I was asking, like, well, how does this Ireland team get better? How does it actually, because we were saying, and we made this point after the New Zealand game, it's already saying, you know, like, and I think he's fair enough to say, Stephen Kenny, where he says, we brought these players through and they will be the better for it. But they still have a lot to do in their own careers. We've even seen that with Cullen, who's older than a lot of these fans. Like, they still have so much to do in their own careers to be able to sustain it. So at this point, in the short term, if we're just taking this for the next 12 months, how does this Ireland team actually get better?
It's trying to, how do we go from them being a really promising prospect, and this is my fear with Andrew Moran, and hopefully it absolutely doesn't prove to be the case, but we seem to constantly have
the next
thing.
Yeah.
And but the next thing, with the exception of Ferguson and Benny, they just seem to consistently peter out and not become the next thing. Like, if you had said to me 2 years ago, you know, where are we going to get a midfielder from who's going to be able to actually dictate play and get on the ball and all of that kind of stuff, I would have said, it's don't worry, lads, we have it. It's Joe Hodge.
Yeah.
It's without a doubt, it's going to be Joe Hodge. Yeah. And, you know, things
cursed
are
with injury,
very,
like,
very much kind of stalled there, you know, certainly partly injury related. But, like, Troy Parrott, obviously, we haven't got anywhere close to what we thought had happened there. Aaron Connolly before that. You know, it just constantly seems to reach a level and then and just kind of drops off before they get to where we want them. Like, you look at
that's
the moment,
just the nature of the game, isn't it? Like, how tough it is to sustain it. You've seen it with Omar Mamadeli. Do you know, he's had issues with his back. He's got a move, but, like, not playing football. Collins has an injury now, and that's going to happen, but he had a couple. Like, I know he's had another good move. Like, it's so difficult to sustain. And this is, which feeds into the Evan Ferguson thing, which is great. He's had his big year, and it looks as if everyone speaks about him who know football a lot more than understanding the player and whatever. But, like, you still can't say for certain that he's going to have another year
100%.
Like it.
Like, you look at, you know, there is a lot to be, like, you look at, obviously, there's quite a crew of them there at Pats. You look at the Pats Cup final team, right?
Yeah.
You know, particularly, probably, you know, we're rightly getting excited about Mason Melia. You look at the ones Rovers have produced over the last few years, Zeffy, the boy at the moment, Razzie, all these, like, there's plenty of people who could be the answer, but over the last 5 years, there's been plenty of fellas that we thought were going to be the answer, and none of them have bloody proved to be anywhere close to the answer, really. So they haven't. I don't know what is it that we're is it because we're so lacking in that kind of player that we get overly hyped about them when somebody shows, you know, any sort of level that they might be that kind of player, and then actually when they go over to England or Italy or, you know, some of them are starting to go, well, actually, they're only par for the course compared to what they've got over there, and we were getting overly hyped about something that was as exciting as we thought it was.
Like, there's a few things that excite me in the world, and number two is a fellow who could take the ball in the half turn. You're literally in my, like, that's, it's, I know it's,
look,
so
you quoted Iniesta earlier. Like, it's, how do we create an Iniesta? We are creating Iniesta as an underage football, but how do we create an Iniesta that goes all the way into our senior team?
Yeah, we probably need to give them more opportunities to play. Like, I mean,
there was some kind of
the
crew investment plan.
Yeah, we're back to the first part, you know.
But that's where you can't. This is what I'm saying. They are so interlinked.
Like,
but, like, so, I would have been very, when Stephen Kenny was getting the job, I would have been very of the opinion that I think it was a good idea to almost have that international manager who did have the look for the future in terms of being willing to almost, as he did, sacrifice short-term game for the long-term. You still don't know. You still can't say for certain that there is long-term. So I'm kind of thinking, not that you have to separate them, but there's still too much of a disjointment, I would say, if that's even a word. I don't know if it is. Gav, just double-check that that's a word. between where we're at producing players and what we have. Do you know what I mean? I think it's only going to be in the next decade where we can say, well, do you know what? How Irish football is and how we've been developing players because of where the structures they're going to be working within, that we can see the pattern. We still haven't got that.
No.
So do you just, like what I know I was joking halfly, but and you've said it and we both have said it, you look at what you have now, and if Ireland are the gamble for the manager, not the manager coming in, but if you have a player like Evan Ferguson, you say, Roy, like, he doesn't even, sorry, I'm going off, but even off, he's not the fellow who plays for us up the pitch all the time, even for Brian. There's times where Pedro was so, like, how could you change it? Could you move Benny in and have the two of them? I don't know.
He's going to have to play further up the pitch for us.
You can't try and do what Brighton do, because there's no, like, it's incredibly detailed and it's incredibly, like, it takes so much time to drill that, even down to, like, you know, where like everyone else has to be in a position of the pitch relative to where one player is and relative to where the ball is. The way to pass always has to be right. Like you can't get these things right in 3-day international windows. So
we don't have the players.
And we don't have the players anyway. To get it right anyway. Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Yeah,
no, we're close.
You just need to find a way of bringing out the best. Like, that's the job of the manager.
Like Billy Gilmore would be the best centre midfielder we've produced in the last few years. Yeah. Like without a shadow of a doubt. Do you know?
Yeah.
So look, it's difficult. And look, again, not to be all doom and gloom. Like there's green shoots there. I'm saying none of them are getting all the way through. There's a lot of them getting nearly the way through. And again, we have a few more. Like, what did we... Was Alex Murphy on the Newcastle bench again?
Came
on. Weekend,
yeah,
possibly?
Sorry.
So you've had Alex Murphy on the bench for Newcastle in the last couple of weeks. You've had Mark O'Mahony, unbelievably, on the bench in the Premier League.
Amazing,
12 months after I tried to sign him for Cove Ramblers.
Where did it all go wrong for him?
Where did it all go wrong for him? Look, he is... I absolutely adored watching him. He is exceptional. And then I'm saying it'll still take a hell of a lot for him to get the whole way through. But he's a Wayne Rooney, like, you know,
is he
a bull in a china shop?
Go and putting any pressure on him.
No, I know. I'm coming like 10 layers down.
I just mean style of play.
That whole. I don't care that I'm 16, 17. I'm going to try and physically bully you and I'm going to start a row with you. And by the way, I have plenty of ability. That kind of stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I would have bent over backwards now trying to get him with us. But that's, I mean, he's only 15 months on from being regularly an unused sub for Cork City. Do you know what I mean? Like he was making Cork City match day squads, but not getting in the team. That's the reason they're the kind of players that Cove go after. Do you know, a fella who's at Cork City who can't get in the match day team.
But it's amazing, even like say you were discussing that, but even say last night, obviously I was working last night, and the lad Rory Finneran.
And the Blackburn man.
I'll be honest, under 15 player of the year for Ireland. He's born in England, I'm almost certain, because I was listening to an interview he gave and he was at City as a kid and United as a kid. 15 on the bench for Blackburn. But it's like, you get it's not that you get excited about it, but it's like, oh, that's the next fella. Like what you're saying, that's the next one. But it shouldn't be like that, because how do you get it where it's going to be like constant? I don't think that's going to actually happen. So who? But even if you're looking at it from the League of Ireland point,
and then
of
we
view,
write them off has been the next big thing. Just as like, I know. Like,
I remember
Parrott is not at an age
I remember interviewing a few of us interviewed Parrott at the training camp in Turkey this year, and we're asking him like, what advice would you have for Evan Ferguson breaking through as a young player? Just like, fuck me.
Has anybody got advice for me breaking through as a young player? That's what I'm currently trying to do.
It was just like, well, I'm a bit young for that.
But that's it, because he's just been around because it's like lads getting faster. But if there's like, we're talking about say players emerging and it's always the next one, but like Evan Ferguson still is that fella. Like, even though what Gav laid out, what you call it, in that monologue that was sponsored by Optijo, but like even though like he still has, I would still class him, even though he's so exciting, as that player who is still breaking through. He's not, like, even though he's playing Premier League and playing in Europe, I still don't see him as that fella who, do you know what, he's 100% there yet.
I know.
He is, but is that fair?
No, it's completely fair. And, you know, I'm preaching against us getting overly excited. And yet, everything tells me that he can kick on. I mean, just again, to give an example, I've spoken numerous times here about the importance of parental backing, right?
Mm.
Like, so if Evan Ferguson becomes an elite player and has an elite career, okay, Evan Ferguson's ability will be the number one reason why he'll do that, okay? But I'm telling you now, a close second is who his dad is. I'm telling you, he as prodigy as parents of prodigies go, I honestly believe he's the prototype for what we should be trying to produce. He got up at the PFAI Awards and collected Evan's International Player of the Year Award. And
this is Barry.
Yeah. Who, you know, those who are into the league will know Barry had, you know, a fairly reasonably distinguished playing career himself and is around the game a long, long time. But who was presenting? Darren Maloney was presenting, you know, and obviously he rightly, you know, started talking about Evan's achievements over the course of the year, and he just, like, you must be so proud. And immediately, Barry Ferguson's answer was, well, Dara, I'm far more proud of the young man that Evan has grown up to be than I am of the footballer that Evan has grown up to be. I mean, that's, you know, brilliant. Yeah, yeah. Straight away, that is exactly what I want to hear. And he's not just saying that. You know, in the way he delivers it, and you know, in the way Evan carries himself, he 100% means that, because I'd say he is very proud of, you know, this is a guy who doesn't seem to be have an ego. We don't see him on social media. We don't, you know, he just seems to be incredibly grounded. And the reason he's so grounded is because his dad is so grounded. So, so grounded. Now, he was entertaining as well. He had a bit of a laugh and a joke. Dara threw up the picture of him making his Bo's debut, you know. Oh. And he said, Dara says, and, you know, obviously he was, you know, very, very young making his debut here. And Barry just looks up. Yeah, he was actually 7 in that photo. He's, you know, because there was such an outrage at the time of him playing.
Oh, there was as well. I forget that. Yeah, don't you? Yeah.
So there was. So that, he got a bit of a laugh and a joke, I would have. But no, I just think... I think that sort of back family background and backing and the level headedness, I think, you know, it's very, very hard to see how things can go majorly wrong for Evan. The other, just before we come off him, we had a point or two after it as well, and I was briefly talking to Barry, and he said, it's just madness at home in the house at the moment. He says, like, 4 or 5 times a day, there'll just be a knock at the front door in their house in Bettystown, like, and he'll go out and he'll answer the door, and there'll just be a young lad standing on the step. Is Evan there? Does he want to come out to play?
Give him a head in the volleys.
And he said there was one young fella came up, knocked on the door, and he opens the door, and the young fella says, I'm after kicking my ball into your back garden. Can I go in and get it? And Barry's like, yeah. So he goes on through in to get the ball and comes back out, like, and the young fella obviously just wanted to say that he'd been in Evan Ferguson's house. It was only after he went away that Barry goes, well, hold on, like, he's not one of the next door neighbours. So the only way his ball can be in my back garden is that he stood in front of the house, kicked it over the roof and landed it in the back garden that he could knock on the door and ask to go and get his ball.
I thought you were going to say, hold on, we haven't got a back garden. you said something there about level-headedness. That is, now we're not quite into the new year yet, but that's what I'm going to take into 2024 going forward. It's just with Irish football and everything is trying to maintain some form and some semblance of perspective.
It's not easy, is it?
It's not. Hopefully we provided some. Hopefully we have provided some over the course of the last hour and a bit. So Gav, thank you very much. Shane, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And until next year, isn't it? Yeah, next year.
Yep.
Hopefully you'll still be around, Shane. You're still a member of the football family, I heard.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Take care.
It's been a pleasure talking about the World Cup, guys. Really appreciate it.
Lost Armenians in Fermoy has the absolute bang of a 6-part documentary on Netflix.
That's a bad ball. Oh! Oh! It is all over. It's a damaging and damning defeat for the Republic of Ireland.
This is the worst group of players that any manager has had in my lifetime.
We should have gone to Greece and put in a performance and got a result, and we didn't. There was no performance there.
Pretty much the first time after a Stephen Kenny managed Ireland performance that I have felt I have no ammunition to go to war with here.
That report said that Powell had shamed players for their weight and attempted to exert excessive control over eating habits. That's what it was claimed.
That's all I want to say. We are going to a World Cup. We have done phenomenally with this team, and we would have never been able to do that if our bond with each other would have been so strong and so positive.
Ireland is back in the World Cup. It's just an awesome feeling to think where they have come from to arrive here. They're also brought down, and it's a penalty to Australia. No chance. No chance for Brazil. Super penalty for Brazil. And Australia lead 1-0. And it's disappointment for Ireland at the start of this World Cup. And huge belief for Australia.
Why won't we change? If Katie McCabe says that she wants to change, it doesn't mean she's not the coach, eh?
Another inviting ball in there on the crossbar. That's it!
Nice to score and get us off to a good start, but it's the results that matter at this level.
Ireland's first World Cup point, Ireland's first World Cup clean sheet.
but Ireland's adventure is over.
I just felt the players drifting away. Then I found out that behind my back, all things were happening.
As expected, Vera Powell is no longer the manager of the senior Ireland women's team.
The results and performances that we got were in spite of their being our coach.
State funding for the FAI has been suspended after Sport Ireland spotted a couple of issues with the pay to the CEO, Jonathan Hill.
Under an in-depth review of the campaign in its entirety, the board will then need to consider this review and next steps.
Of course, it's going to go up somewhat.
There is a bright future now with this team, and the players are only going to get better. It's been an amazing journey, of course, with the under-21 team and the last 3 years with the senior team. It's been a great privilege.